What's up, everybody? Happy whatever day of the week it is you're listening to this video, because we're pre-recording and we don't know what day we're going to post.
Yep.
I'm Chad. This is my little nephew. This is Isaac's son. Jake could be with us today.
Yeah. So... I got a little haircut and shaved my face, so I look a little different.
Like a little boy that hasn't hit puberty, doesn't he, folks?
Yeah. A little bit.
18-year-old Jake. This is back when he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
All you ladies out there that are looking for love, sorry, he's taken. That's just a broken little heart.
Yeah.
But we're back with another episode. So before all these episodes start, you guys probably don't get to see all the pissing and moaning that Jake and I
do
about our week. Our work is frustrating. How people are pissed us off. So we try to get that all off of our chest before we come to you guys with this pure, unfiltered wisdom and knowledge and humor we just bring and we give to you guys.
Yeah. And there's a lot of pissing and moaning that goes on.
Especially this week. Actually, the last 3 or 4 weeks. Usually I'm the one with all the pissing and moaning. And, this last month, you've like taken the cake.
I take the reins and I run with them. It's been like that lately, but
that's really interesting. When I was thinking about this episode, and like, obviously, it's called Monty's Gems after our dad and the things he instilled in us. That was the one thing that he always enjoyed. What he was talking about was pissing and moaning about, you know, something, or judging other people. Why they were doing something so stupid.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of carried off into us. That, you know, something I've been definitely working on is not judging people so harshly and not thinking that everybody is just absolutely stupid. Because oftentimes I've caught myself judging myself at those standards, and so it doesn't feel super good. So being able to release that and be more accepting and empathetic as others has, I think it's done two things. It's just helped me be more enjoyable to be around from others' perspective, but also in my own head helped me to be more gracious with myself and enjoyable to be around. And I don't know how much all of you guys speak to yourselves inside of your heads and are saying things or wondering things, why maybe this person said this way or that way. But once you get down in those deep, dark holes, sometimes you can just make a mess of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really enjoyable with, you know, sometimes how we'll be essentially judging ourselves. So, Yeah.
And I mean, it, letting go of that, it frees up. I think we've talked about it before, but it just frees up so much space in your mind. It's like, if you're in that mindset all the time, it's just something you think about all the time. It's like, what is this person, what does that actually mean that this person said to me? Or is there some like hidden motive or anything like that? But if you let go of that, it's like, you don't think about all that stuff, and it's very freeing.
Yeah, it's very freeing. It's not time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you to just live in the present and deal with the things that are currently in front of you and presented right there, instead of delving into the past and trying to figure out why those things happened, or trying to plan for the future and strategize and getting stressed out about how everything needs to be perfect for the future, which can be, I think, extremely, you know, burdensome. It's just, it's just not really an enjoyable way to live.
Yeah. Rather than just kind of living in the moment and realizing, I don't know, throughout the past week, it's like, I've caught myself multiple times. It's like, don't stress out. Everything will play out okay. Everything will be fine. It's like, there's no point in worrying about all this stuff, and just relax. And I don't know. It's been very, very good for my mindset, especially going through all these annoying things that I would have, I mean, all the pissing and moaning that we did before the podcast. It's like, yeah, I complained to you about all these things, but like in the moment I tried to kind of, I don't know, not think about them and just kind of go through with it. And I don't know, kind of realize it's all going to be okay, I guess. I don't know.
But one of the things I will say is that it is important to be able to piss and moan to someone without feeling like you're being judged. Be like, dude, why are you such a negative person? Like, God, like all you do is complain about work and stuff like that, where we can just resonate with each other. And I think that's something that, you know, girls, when they go to their groups and they talk and they're like, it's like that, it's healing. It's very healing to be able to do that versus sometimes if it's our significant other or spouse, since they don't really understand this, it feels like you're just like just being judgmental.
Trying to correct it.
Agree with me. Idiots. Like, that's all I'm asking for. Like, let's get on the same team. And like, and sometimes it's just so difficult to do that. So I think it's really important to have that type of a support group where you can feel comfortable just sharing your frustrations and not feeling judged. And it's even more fun when you're agreeing about it. And then you have these personas that you're both getting upset with and calling them idiots and, you know, whatever it is. And I think, you know, whether it's in work or life or whatever, it's important to let go of those frustrations. But then it's also, I think, important to try to plan for a future where maybe we can make sure that those frustrations aren't continuing to happen, right? So it's like, you know, when these things are happening in my life, it's like, okay, so what could I have done better to be able to prevent these frustrations? And two, what can I do better in the future so that these things don't become frustrations or these aren't obstacles that I'm even faced with? Can I plan better? Can I strategically do things so that, you know, I'm not tired when I wake up or whatever the case may be? And that's something I think, you know, that's important to have a retrospective look on the things that are causing us frustrations and see how we can do better to make sure they don't happen again.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, if we can't change how what it's going to be the outcome, then learn to deal with that and not stress out over it. Because if it's like, if you can't change the outcome, then there's no point in getting all worked up about it. And I mean, it's like the cliche of you can only control what you control. You can't control the things around you. Or you can only control what you can control. Like, things are going to happen and you have no control over it. And it's just kind of learning to accept that. And all those things you can't control, stop stressing out over them.
I agree with that. But if something is continuing to happen on a day-to-day basis or a weekly basis, while they may not seem like they're controllable, they actually are. You know, in terms of how we can change our life or create something new to where we're not inside of that uncontrollable thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what's important, especially if it comes to, you know, maybe issues at work. I'm trying to think, like, what are some of the biggest, I'd say finances are probably something that people have a struggle over. You know, you struggle with maybe customer service that you've gotten at a restaurant, or how someone treats you at a grocery store, or how someone speaks to you. And so, or maybe it's a friend or a family member. So some of those things are unavoidable. Like, I couldn't control that situation, but I can hopefully control myself in the future with how that is presented in a better way. And I think that's, you know, it's important to try to look out and to prepare for that in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
So something else, I guess, that I was thinking about this week, and I've just seen this so much, I guess, in the past, I don't know, maybe it's just been super eye-opening as I, you know, go higher up in positions, where I see how important it is to get information from a significant source. That sources matter. That if someone is learning to play basketball, it would be much better for Michael Jordan to teach them to play basketball than it would for me. And so if I'm able to teach a 3-year-old how to shoot properly, like, and they have the opportunity to consult Michael Jordan about it, it's like, oh, well, Mr. Abs told me this. And it's like, yeah, but you're talking to Michael Jordan, so like, just listen to what the hell he has to say. And I think with social media, it's made it really difficult to be able to research who are viable sources.
Yeah.
And so everybody is a source and everybody has their own ideas and their own claims, and everybody wants to be a content creator. And it's like, well, do they have the proof and the evidence of showing up and showing that they've actually been successful of what it is that they're talking about or that they're saying? And so many times I just hear people who are taking advice from somebody about significant things to where it's like, listen, like, we need to check our sources here. Like, this is really important, especially when it comes to work. I'll give you an example. We have at our property, we have this Amazon Hub system. And so what it is, it's a locker system where when a shipping carrier comes, they can scan the box, put it in the box, and then each resident that orders something, they'll get a code sent directly to them. And so we were having an issue when UPS would go and scan the QR code and they would put it in the box, that the residents would be getting that code. So they'd be like, where's my package? And so I'd have to check the system and find out. And so I, you know, tried to start figuring this out. And I asked the question. They're like, oh, well, that's because when UPS comes, they just don't get the code. So we have to get it for them. It's like, well, that's not good. Because if a resident doesn't know that their package came and they didn't get a code for it, then they could go with the assumption that it's lost. And so if they don't know to come to the office to ask us to see if it's in there, their package is lost. So, oh, well, like, yeah, that's how it is. Like, UPS just doesn't give codes. It's like, well, where did you find that out? It's like, oh, well, I talked to UPS. Like, that's what UPS said. It's like, well, UPS isn't the locker system. They're not the damn source. Like, let's go to Amazon, the hub system, and find out why it is when UPS delivers to this box that the residents don't get a code. And if that's the case, then we need to make sure that UPS doesn't have access to be able to put their boxes inside of this locker system so that there isn't this confusion. And it's just like, well, why are we asking deeper questions? Why are we just taking an answer from an insignificant source or from someone who's trying to make their life easier by just putting something in a box? And well, it's not actually easier because we have a shelf system that's just over there to where they can do it. But it's just like, this is confusing for our residents. So we need to stop making it so confusing for our residents. And the answer that you guys have been given is not a good enough answer to be able to give to the residents. So we, you know what I mean? And this is what I'm saying. It's just like, it pisses me off when it's just like, oh, well, we've asked this guy. It's like, okay, you asked one person. They didn't give me a good enough answer. So I'm going to ask another person. I'm going to ask another person until, one, I get a good enough answer or I get something that's a solution to the problem. And if I don't, I'm going to keep looking for it. And I don't know why it is, and I wouldn't say in today's day and age, but it just seems like there's so much information out there and there's so much technology that sometimes we take information for granted. And it's like that first source, we just believe it. And it's scary. That's really scary to me to see all the information that is being perpetuated throughout the world right now as truth. When, man, now you really have to cipher it down more than ever before that you ever would have, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much information. I mean, there's literally people that go on the internet just to, like, anybody can post on the internet. Like, I could go out and post, like, anything that I wanted to. And it's like, if it gets popular enough, people would probably take it as true. And I could literally just be making up straight lies. And there's, I don't know. I've realized that too lately. It's like, who's a reliable source? It's like, okay, well, this person says a lot of things that have been proven to be true before and this and that, but it's like, who's going to take the time to validate every single source that they look at, especially when they're looking for just like a quick answer to something or like, how do I put this together or something like that? And it's somebody who has no idea what they're talking about and just posts something online. It's like, oh, well, surely that's the right way then. But it's like, this person has no idea what they're talking about. It can be anybody. It could literally be an insane person posting something on the internet. And there's no disclaimer or anything. It's so hard to validate that, especially when you're just looking for a simple answer and you don't have time to validate a source. It's like, there's just so much.
Yeah, and I think we have to be really, really careful with who we allow to speak into our lives, because there's people that are older that want to speak, and there's people who just want to talk and they want to share and they feel like they have something to say. But you have to be really, really careful. And for me personally, whenever someone is speaking, I have to be able to see their actions and how successful they've been and what it is that they're speaking.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. Like, for me, if I'm in a relationship, I'm not going to try to take advice. I don't know. I'm not going to probably take marriage advice from someone who has been divorced, especially if they're trying to push me towards divorce, because it's like, okay, that's something that happened to you and that you did, and you're essentially telling me that what you did was okay, and you're telling me that it's okay. It was like I'm going to probably try to seek other opinions to see where the other side that is, because unfortunately, I think whenever we tend to give advice, we always tend to gravitate towards our own agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's just something that we naturally do. But when it comes to things that are important in life, and for me, you know, at this point, you know, it's kind of religion, trying to seek that out. But, like, I don't think a Christian is ever going to perpetuate Judaism or being a Muslim or anything like that. And in the same aspect, I don't think any religion is going to try to say, oh, well, maybe you should consider all these things. And that's where I struggle, because, like, okay, what's your agenda? What are you trying to do? And that's something, as we go into the workforce, is whether you're kids or you're adults, it can be difficult, because it's like, oh, well, this company's paying me, and it seems like they really value their employees. But there's also people who don't want to have to do that much work, and they know that if they can get the hardest workers below them and they can use those people to continue to work, that those people are never going to be able to build up into stature and be able to be in leadership, because leadership is going to try to undermine them and keep them down below. And so these are all things that we need to be mindful of. And I think coming from the Midwest and trying to have more of a servant mentality and a servant heart, it can be very, very easy to be taken advantage of, instead of standing up for ourselves, having boundaries, and not being afraid to quit. I'll tell you this. It's like, you know, our parents' generation was more of, you work for a company for an extended period of time, you put in your time, then you just work. It's like, yeah, well, how often were our parents taken advantage of, or how often were people taken advantage of with those types of ideas, where, you know, now it's just like, hey, you see people all the time work a year at a job and they make a vertical move. Like, as long as you're not making lateral moves and you're able to make vertical moves, and a vertical move doesn't necessarily just have to be financial. It could also just be with your self-esteem or being around better people. Like it could be a lot of different things. So, I don't know. It's just, especially for me, you know, being in a position where I'm always trying to come up with new ideas, make the company more profitable and beneficial, is that I don't really ever take the simple answer as truth, to where it's like, okay, so, oh, well, this isn't going to we can't really change this. It's like, no, you can't really change this. I will find somebody who can. Mm. Like, your answer isn't good enough. Maybe you don't know, but I'm going to keep looking. And I'm never going to stop searching. And I think that's one thing that you and I talked about when you said you really appreciated it about Dad, is that he never really set any limits to you. It was like, always shoot for your goals, always try to solve problems. And just because someone says that you can't, doesn't mean you can't. It means that they don't know how to. And there could be someone out there that does. And so keep seeking for that. Keep asking the questions. Keep asking the difficult questions. And look for better sources from where that information is coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. I think kind of what you're saying there reminds me of kind of the whole idea of David Goggins and like what he's doing. It's like, well, what he's doing is impossible. And it's like, well, it's clearly not impossible. It's, I mean, he's doing it. It's just the people that don't want to do it, they don't want to do it, so they don't do it. And just because something is seemingly impossible doesn't mean it's impossible. It's just like kind of breaking barriers for what people can do and what their mindset is on some things. And that doesn't mean that everybody should do those things or that everything is healthy or anything like that. But it's just the idea of what's possible is it's pretty much based off of what has already been done, not what is going to be possible tomorrow or next year or whatever. People put that impossible label on so many things, but it's like, that's not impossible. It's just nobody's done it and nobody's wanted to do it or whatever, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I think another example would be if you're someone like us at one point in time, I mean, I personally, I wanted to play professional baseball. And so someone who is currently playing professional baseball is never going to, I don't believe, would ever give me advice to give up, to quit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably not going to make it, dude. But if you were to go from someone maybe in our hometown or that who once had that dream, mm-hmm. and then they gave up, or maybe somebody like me who I didn't make it, you're like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's something you're going to do. Mm-hmm. There's two totally different aspects of advice. Like this person's advice is going to be so much more encouraging and telling them that they can. Or someone like me, I may be saying like, listen, there are this many high school players, there's this many college players, and then there's this many professional baseball mm-hmm. players. So like your chances of doing that are way more slim. Like I wouldn't put all my eggs in one basket. Like maybe consider doing other, and maybe somebody who's a professional baseball player would say that. But I think it's just interesting that if you sat down two individuals like this, like the person playing professional baseball, the person mm-hmm. who just gave up on their hopes and their dreams, and mm-hmm. the advice that they would give is going to be absolutely completely different. And mm-hmm. that person, it's really just based on, you know, who you take your advice from.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because I mean, if you do take the advice of somebody who is, oh, well, that's never going to happen, so I did the best that I could and it didn't happen to me, and so therefore you should not get your hopes up and whatnot. Whereas it's, I don't know, dream big. Like you can do so much. Don't just settle for, oh yeah, well, you tried. It's like, give it everything that you can, because that's how the top people make it. They don't make it by half-assing it and saying, oh, well, if I don't make it, it's like, no, these people, that's all that they can think about is making it. That's why they make it, because their life is so, so engrossed in it. It's like that is, they literally live that life. It's going the extra step and, I don't know, seeing that, it's a lot of mindset.
Yeah. And that's easier said than done. Because you're actually trying to do that and you're trying to accomplish that, it can be really, really discouraging. Like, let's say for me, I tried to create a clothing line, haven't had much success with it. It was really, really hard. Mm-hmm. But if you go to someone like Phil Knight, the creator of Nike, like, and you're wanting to create a clothing line, go to that dude. Mm-hmm. If you want to be inspired, if you want someone to be able to encourage you, like, go to him. He is going mm-hmm. to be able to help you to do that. But also, when you're doing this, that's why it's so important to have a support group, have people that are there, like, just mm-hmm. cheering you on and, like, wanting to celebrate your wins. Because we're in a day and age where it seems like there's a stronger desire to compete and knock people down mm-hmm. than there is to try to uplift and build people. And I think oftentimes, you know, maybe your family are the ones who are the most supportive of you. So if you're struggling to find that out in you know, the world with people who are trying to be encouraging, just like look inside your family. But it also starts with us, right? So if we've never really been that encouraging of our family and we've always been naysayer or super judgmental, like it may take some of that encouragement just coming from out of our mouths to encourage them to then feel encouraged by them as well. So, you know, I think everything starts with us. But yeah, those are really my thoughts on just our sources and who you try to learn from, man.
Yeah, definitely. And the whole mindset being so huge, especially like for professional athletes, to me is, yeah, there are a lot of people that had that same mindset and gave it everything that they had, but they didn't make it, and they probably feel a lot different because mindset is one thing, but it's not everything. It's the people that live that life are the only ones that make it into professional baseball. But not everybody who lives that life makes it into professional baseball. But without living that life, you will not make it. And I think I don't know. Everybody who does won't make it, but everybody that makes it has that mindset, and it's a necessity for it. There are outside factors on top of that, but I think that's what's so discouraging for a lot of people. And it's like, why do I think that way? Like, why do I try so hard? Like, I gave it literally everything that I could, and I didn't make it. So therefore, it's impossible to make it. But in reality, there are a lot of people that are doing that exact same thing, and some people do make it, and it's a lot of external forces that you may not even see, or I don't know. I can't explain it, but there's that mindset that is a necessity to go to a next level of that kind, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot more people sitting at home not playing a professional sport or reaching their goals or having success that had the ability and the talent to do so, but didn't have the proper mindset. Then there are people who had the proper mindset, but didn't have the talent and the ability to do so. And once you combine both of those things, obviously that's where you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But it's much more with the mindset and the encouragement. And I'll tell you what, dude, like, it sounds so much easier because it's like, oh, well, just go have this mindset. Yeah. It takes time. And so even if you've tried many things and you haven't done, like sometimes for me, it's like having to be alone for myself for a year and trying to support myself and trying to survive and trying to figure out who Chad is has helped me to build and have that inner self-confidence and remove so many insecurities. Not only that, dude, but getting off sugar. And hey, like, I still have a little bit of sugar, like my sauce is on my rice and stuff like that. So I'm not totally clean, but I just, like, the ketchup and all the sugar that I used to eat, like how much better I feel and mental clarity and just realizing how much that would impact my mood, the amount of sugar that I was eating, dude. It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
And then you like mix in alcohol with that and those types of things, which, you know, I haven't drank in a long time, but just like how you feel waking up on a Saturday or a Sunday after, you know, drinking and how tired you are and how groggy you are. It's like, well, what are you wanting to accomplish after having that? Which, you know, I do miss some of the feeling of being, you know, drinking and just, you know, laughing and just, it felt like it was it's just enjoying life. It made me think more clearly, really have less stress and worry and those types of things. So I do miss that aspect of it, but now I'm trying to have that less stress and worry naturally without drinking and having alcohol associated with it. So
yeah, because there are definitely repercussions that you'll have to deal with later. Yeah, I mean, it seems with drinking more so I was going with there. It's like, I don't know, the idea of drinking is attractive to some people, but it's that day after or the week after. I mean, it affects you for a long time. It affects your body and how it works and your mind and grogginess and especially that next day, you really realize it. And I mean, sometimes it just kicks into other bad habits and it's like, man, I feel like crap. So I don't feel like working out today. I don't feel like eating healthy today. I'm just going to eat fast food and not work out. It's like, okay, well, you ate fast food and didn't work out yesterday. So you're going to feel like crap today. So you're not going to want to do that again. And it keeps compounding and compounding. And then it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, and there are just so many unhealthy things that we've created in society to where it's just like there's so many options of like temporary pleasures, right? Like, yeah, fast. I don't know. I don't know if there's any fast food that I'd be like, oh, yeah, I want to go eat some of those. Maybe if, unless it's those egg rolls. I guess that would be considered fast food.
Yeah.
But that's interesting because it was last night on YouTube, there's those free movies with that you can search, and they have essentially a platform. And Leave It to Beaver or Dennis the Menace?
Mm-hmm.
It was on, and I was just like going back into black and white. I was like, okay, like they just barely had TV. His mom and dad were going to the show, and he wanted to go to the show, which was the movie theater. But it was like there was no Nintendo, there was no Xbox, there was no PS2, there was no computer, there was no all of this technology that would distract us or gave us limited options of what we could do here tonight. Obviously, I live in a much bigger city than you, so the physical opportunities that I have to go do things, they're just like, I got pickleball courts right next door, I got the beach right over there, I got miniature golf course up there, I could go golfing. Like, it's just, there's just so many things that I could do to take up time, and it's just like overwhelming. It's like, what would I do? Where, you know, growing up in a small town, that was something that I think was also cool. Mm-hmm. It's like there weren't that many things to do, but there also weren't, that means that there really weren't that many distractions. So mm-hmm. It was like, if you want to be part of the community, you're only going to be at a few things. So it wasn't like everybody was going to just be spread out doing their whole thing, which makes people more unique, and I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also good to be able to connect with people and to just like do one thing and be good at one thing instead of just be like, oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna mm-hmm. It's just like all the, those options. It's like, how do you stay determined and focused when there's so many things to do? Yeah. Like for me, it was like, I don't know if I could have really tried to be that good at baseball if there was all this other stuff going on. It was just like, hey, there wasn't much else to do. I love baseball, so it's like, I'm just gonna go practice baseball because. And you know what? I think maybe it wasn't so that there wasn't a lot of things to do. It was just something, that's what I loved. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think, you know, when it comes to work or a family or whatever, you know, if you can find what it is you love to do, it's like there's not really that much else that really matters. Like, mm-hmm. it's just things going on and happening.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's just finding those couple of things that you love and that you want to live for and kind of just doing that. And all of the rest of the stuff is, it's great too, but it's just really what matters to you and what you care about and what you want to put your time and energy into.
Right. And it's like, after we end this podcast, I'm going to be thinking about what I can do. I'm already looking over there at my VR headset. I could do that. I could watch YouTube movies.
Mm-hmm.
I could watch a number of different podcasters that I enjoy listening to. I have about 3 or 4 books up there that I could end up reading. And it's like, back in this time, they didn't have all these books. There weren't all these people. There wasn't all this opportunity, which I guess it's made me reach or like Amazon to be able to buy all these unlimited books. You had to like purchase whatever books were available at your small bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there weren't so many options as there are right now, and how I try to use myself, my time wisely. And that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to figure out how I am the most efficient with my time. And like, it's like, okay, what one of these books do I think is going to help me the most next? And then what one's next? It's like, oh my gosh, like, what podcast should I listen to today so I can learn something that's going to help me progress tomorrow?
Hmm.
And it's just like, there's just so many options where it's like, I don't even know what the answer to that question is. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And another reason for there just being so many books is also, I think the barrier to entry to being an author is a lot is the lowest now that it ever has been, just because making a book is so accessible. Like, there's things that you can follow. There's a lot more programs to use to write a book, to structure it, to help you think of concepts, to, I don't know, just it's much easier now than it ever has been. And I think there's a lot of people that have books now that never would have had a book before. But I think that's just a net positive.
Yeah, because for me, it seems like there's just so many good books out there where mm-hmm. I don't know if there's ever been that many good books out there before. And this goes back to your sources, right? So, like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
For me, I listen to a podcast, and most podcasts, they're questions back and forth. And so, like, some of the information we're sharing, we've talked about previously, where if a book mm-hmm. is from point A to point B to C, it's almost like a course. It's like, mm-hmm. we're not going to repeat everything. So you're getting it in its most efficient, organized way that right. it possibly is. That's why I remember, like, after last month's book that we did, we have a family book club reading that's like, man, this information is just so organized and so efficient. It's so much more enjoyable just to read a book from beginning to end and just go through all that information instead of have to sift through a podcast where there's question. Maybe it's relatable to what you're wanting to learn. Maybe it's not. And if it's not, then you just wasted 30 minutes of your time. And so now you're going to search for it again. And it's like, how much time am I going to spend until I actually am able to find the result that I'm looking for in terms of the question that I want answered?
Yeah, that's a good point too.
But it's like with our podcast, it's like, oh, well, why do people even listen to it? Like, we don't really have all that information to give. But yeah. It's like we do try to, you know, share things that are important and I think mm-hmm. beneficial to people, but it's like you have the opportunity to listen to any other podcast out there. So it's like, what would make you choose ours? Mm-hmm. But the same aspect, we're trying to think what it is that would make our podcast valuable to people and what would, you know, help them, whether it's soothing their day or giving them the opportunity to learn something or
right.
maybe even creating laughter. Like, what makes it enjoyable to listen to us,
mm-hmm.
to watch that Leave It to Beaver episode? And because, man, I don't know if you realize it, but people are giving up hours of their day to consume what we're creating. And that's really, really special just to be able to realize that people are giving us their time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody's time is valuable, and I don't know, everybody values, well, I guess not everybody values their time equally, but time is equally valuable to everybody, but not everybody values their time equally, I guess, if that makes sense.
But I would say right now people's time is more valuable than it's ever been because so many things are vying for their attention, to where if me and you had an opportunity to do this in the 1950s, like yeah. when radios were a thing, like you realize me and you would be like the only thing right. on the radio. Like this right. is what the whole town would be listening to. If we had that voice, like it's just like, holy God, that's incredible. Like,
yeah.
If we had this opportunity in the 1950s, we would be like set, dude. Like right now it's like everybody has this opportunity.
Yeah.
Any person that has a camera and an app and knows how to post on social media has the opportunity to create this essentially radio show for people to listen to. And not only are we vying for all the other podcasts or radio shows that they're listening to, but we're vying for their time of where video games or whatever it is that they're doing are not going up to do this in public. It's like, there's people have a lot of options, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I never really think about stuff like that. Yeah, there's
I mean, so I know that's why for me, that going back, the sources are so important because I don't give my time to that many people. And like, for me, like podcasts, it's like Jordan Peterson, because he's proven time and time again that his information is very, very well put together. It's efficient. It's organized. and it's valuable. And so I respect and I trust that he's going to use the time that I give him to the best of his advantage, and he's not going to be wasteful of it. And that's something that I really, really appreciate. And there's very few people that there are like that. And the same way of the people that I talk to, man, oh my gosh, there's so many people where if I'm going on a tour and they just blabber all over and I'm just like trying to finish the tour as quick as possible, because it's like, dude, you are wasting my freaking time and I don't want to hear anything that you're saying. I don't care if you want to rent here or not. Like, listening to what you're saying is like not enjoyable to me. I don't want to hear it. So like, even if they're like trying to buy something from me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. For me, my time is very, very valuable. Mm-hmm. And even when it's at work and I'm trying to sell something and people are just like talking and talking and talking, and it's just like, okay, yeah, I'm at work, but it's like, I don't want to listen to this bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather be like reading or learning something or doing work that's actually valuable to the property. It's like value. Like, what things you place value on are so important, dude. I hate wasteful chatter.
Yeah. Speaking of time being valuable, we were kind of talking before the show of learning some Spanish and Hebrew and quizzing each other a little bit. And what more valuable than learning another language? So I think the layout would be... I give you a phrase or a word or something in Spanish, and you would basically, maybe some of them are multiple choice, maybe some of them are just I straight up ask you, but it's just like beginner phrases and stuff like that. And I think it would be interesting to see where your brain's at and try to see what you know, I guess.
Okay.
All right. So I would assume.
Do you want me to go first?
What's that? Sure, you can go first if you want to. Sure, since you're so antsy and ready.
Shalom, Yaakov. Ma shlomcha?
I would assume that is hello, Jacob. How are you? How's it going? Something like
right.
that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to keep going? Or you want to go back and forth, or you want to do all of yours? And
okay. Okay, yeah, go back and forth. Yeah, go.
Okay. So this one's just going to be just a little simple word. Could be a phrase, I guess. But bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos?
Yeah, it's all one word. Bienvenidos.
That was a good job.
Okay. It's welcome. Like how some welcome? Yeah, like how some restaurants have like bienvenidos a la whatever insert restaurant name here. It's like welcome to the restaurant or something like that. Bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos casa bonita.
bienvenidos a la Monty's Gems.
No, you know what Casa Bonita is, right?
Isn't this the South Park thing? Yeah.
Yeah, where they have the waterfall.
Yeah, you know they have actually, one. Yeah, my wife was talking about it. They have one in like Nevada or something like that, Colorado or something like that.
The owners of South Park purchased it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I
did not know that part, but yeah. I didn't know there was a Casa Bonita in somewhere.
It used to be a real restaurant, and then that's what the show was made off of. And then they went out of business or something, and they bought it to be able to, yeah.
Okay.
And it just opened, I think, last November again.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And they've made it, like, I don't know. When it was first coming out, it was supposed to be, like, pretty sweet, but.
Okay.
Okay. Huh. Ani mavin ivrit.
Wait, say it again.
Ani mavin ivrit.
Ana, how many words is that?
Ani mavin ivrit.
So three. Okay. Anavrim. I don't even remember what you said now.
Anavrim Ivit.
Anavrim Ivit. Okay. I'm going to go with today is Friday. Okay.
I understand Hebrew.
Oh, okay. I would have never guessed that in a million years. Okay. So this one I'll give you a little multiple choice, okay? I'm going to go with the word is manzana. Manzana, okay? Does this mean tomorrow? Does this mean banana? Does this mean Tuesday? Or does this mean apple? You want me to say the word again?
Manzana.
Manzana.
Well, I know it's not tomorrow.
Okay.
Because that's
thought I'd trick you with that one. Thought I'd give you a sound alike. I'd give you a little sound alike. Get you all flustered up and trick you.
I can say apple.
Apple.
Banana.
Banana. Or Tuesday.
I'm going to say apple.
Yeah. There you go. I almost forgot what the other one that I said was. You like apple, banana, or what? I was like, oh, I don't remember anymore. Okay.
Okay, so let's see. So this will kind of be an extension of what I previously said, but I'll say Katsat Lokal Katov.
Extension to the hello or I know Hebrew?
Yeah.
I know Hebrew. Okay.
Ani mevini vrit. Katsat Lokal Katov.
Okay. Something along the lines of I'm not fluent, though. Maybe just a little bit or something like that.
A little, not so well.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with your next phrase is a la derecha.
Okay.
A la derecha. Do you want me to give you some multiple choice? A la derecha. Do you want some multiple choice that I could think of?
Yeah.
Whew, okay. Okay. Okay, I'll give you three, okay? A la derecha. Does it mean at the farm? Does it mean from the hotel, or why are you smiling like that? I'm just trying to keep a straight face through all of them, give you an equal chance to guess all of them. Or does it mean to the right?
A la derecha.
Mm-hmm.
To the right.
Okay. The multiple choice are making it too easy, I think.
No, you're just using it as the last one.
Well, yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I did do that twice in a row. Okay. Okay. One more.
Okay. Bereshit bara Elohim. Bereshit bara Elohim.
Bereshit bara Elohim.
Bereshit bara Elohim.
Bara Elohim. Elohim is that something to do with religion? Elohim?
It's a religious word.
Okay. Is it the religious word for God?
Yes.
Okay. Is it I believe in God? Okay. That was my guess.
In the beginning, God.
Ah, okay. I'm gonna say your last one. It's not gonna be multiple choice. It's just you're not giving me any multiple choice, so I'm not gonna give you any multiple choice because I don't have these written down, and it's hard to come up with on the spot. So your last word is going to be anaranjado. It's all one word.
Anaranjado.
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 Mm-hmm. It actually might be anaranjada, but. Either or.
And this isn't like the Lady Anna and her Uncle Rod?
No.
Ahada?
No, it is
not. Anaranjada?
I believe it's Anaranjado. I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure.
Anaranjada.
Yes.
Is it a person, place, or a thing?
I would say it's a thing. Kind of.
It's a thing?
Kind of. It's more so an idea.
Is it masculine or feminine?
Well, it ends with an O, so technically masculine, but I would say neither.
Anaranjado.
Yes.
Is it something you would keep in your house?
No. Like I said, it's more so an idea rather than a thing.
It's an idea.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know how to explain. Is it a question? No.
Anaranjado.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me the place of origin?
I have no idea.
Anaranjado.
Yeah.
How many syllables is it?
Anaranjado. 5.
Anaranjado.
Yes, dude. That's the word. Either you know it or you don't know it.
R-A-D-O-H-O. Anaranjado.
No, it's not an H-O. It's a D-O.
D-O. Anaranjado.
Yes. Okay, what is your guess? You've had plenty of time.
Oh, I thought we were supposed to spell it.
Yeah. No, well, you failed that too.
Anaranjado. And it's an idea.
Yeah, I would say that's my way of describing it.
Running to the mountains.
What?
Running to the mountains.
No. It is the color orange.
Person, place, or thing.
What would you say? You can't really call it a thing.
What?
It's not really a person, place, or a thing. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I guess that wraps up learning Spanish and Hebrew for this episode.
Yep.
I would say that I probably took the cake on that one. I gave you some pretty softball questions with the multiple choice, especially after you figured out my layout for the multiple choice answers. But
yeah, well, it's not like you gave me entry-level Spanish. I mean, I was giving you entry-level Hebrew.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the word phrase, I already told you what it means. It means, oh, like, I understand Hebrew, and then I just added on to that. Like, what would someone say after that?
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You did give me a good one there. I was going to say como estás, but after you said shalom, I couldn't say como estás. Do you know what that means?
¿Cómo estás?
Yeah.
Well, ¿qué pasa is what's up, right?
¿Qué pasa is what's up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
¿Cómo estás? How are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't give you a how are you after you gave me a how are you.
Right.
Yeah, that just...
Do you know what sacapuntas is?
Sacapuntas? It sounds very familiar, but not off the top of my head, I don't. What does it mean?
It's a Spanish word.
Okay. You're not going to tell me?
You know what it is, right?
No, I don't know what it is. I just said I don't know what it is.
You think it sounds dirty?
A little bit.
Yeah, pencil sharpener.
Okay. Nice.
What no. about cacahuetes?
Cacahuetes? Cacahuates. That's peanut.
I don't know.
Peanuts?
Peanuts?
Yeah. You just learn all the obscure words.
Yeah, words that sound like they're bad.
Yeah. Alrighty. That wraps it up for that segment. What other languages do I know? I know very, very, very entry-level Russian.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you learn that from?
Evelyn and I were learning it on Duolingo for a little bit. Spasiba. That means thank you. Spasiba.
Actually, I don't think there's a lot of Russian people down here.
Really?
Yeah. Especially at this property. Like, they're the only ones that come to our events, and they come and they eat all the food. And
yeah.
There's one Russian guy here. We just got this brand new coffee machine that has, like, whole beans, and there's, like, 12 different flavors. And our property manager sent out an email telling everybody, oh, come try it out. And I was like, dude, don't do that. And people have been using it and just drinking the crap out of the coffee. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, we're spending too much money on coffee. Like, yeah, no shit, you're lying. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't have told everybody that it's down here. Like,
yeah,
come and find it.
Yeah.
And we have this one Russian guy. I don't know what the hell he does for work, but I seriously, there's been days where I've counted him only 15 times.
15 times?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought I got to send out an email saying, hey, guy, like, please, residents, please be mindful that there's 327 apartments in this building and that we want everyone to get their food for the coffee, so drinking coffee excessively more than, you know, two times a day, especially it's like, gosh, dude, it's too much because we're running out of beans and, like, the company's only supposed to come for weeks and so now they're having to fill it up with beans, like, every day. Oh, wow. And it's just like, oh, gosh. And we left out a Google review card and nobody's left this one Google review. It's just like, this is stupid, dude. All this is doing is creating more work for us. Like,
yeah. He's getting his rent's worth of amenities, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's getting his rent's worth in coffee right there.
Yeah, but dude, do you realize, like, what 15 cups of coffee would do to you?
Oh,
like,
I know. That's insane.
What do you think's going on in his insides?
Yeah.
Like, that can't be healthy.
No way.
That much caffeine?
That is a lot of coffee.
Because now that I think of it, I don't think there's a
decaf.
A decaf option. Yeah. No. So,
he's just doing it for the love of the game.
I guess, dude, unless the guy never sleeps.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people go to sleep on coffee, though. I guess when you drink that much coffee, it really doesn't affect you anymore. I mean, it can't.
Caffeine is just not effective.
I mean, when you're taking so much, your body just gets used to it after a while, I would assume.
Wow, dude. Because I am hypersensitive to caffeine because I don't drink any. I have a little half a scoop of pre-workout, and that's it. And then on Wednesdays, I don't drink any caffeine at all to give myself a reset. So it's just like if I drank 15 cups of coffee, I would probably die.
Yeah. Heart just explodes.
And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that somebody else wouldn't die.
Yeah. He worked his way up to be that champ.
Yeah, I guess that's what you're about it.
Yeah.
Ain't no champ in my book.
Already.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that ends today's episode with our exotic language information and talking about our sources and just going through life and enjoying conversations. That's what it's all about. Learning, growing, having a good old time. And on that note, we appreciate anybody who is giving us our time and listening to the podcast and just being part of this little adventure. Yeah. So any of you guys ever want to be on it where we can ask you questions and learn about you, we'd love to have you on. So reach out. We'd have happy to have any of that again.
Definitely.
So
alrighty.
Good night, everybody.
Yep. See you later, everybody.